The Hard Shoulder with Ciara Kelly and Shane Coleman on News Talk
with the MG Hybrid and Electric range.
And now, of course, it is our favourite time of the week, that weekly fix, What to Watch. And back in Dublin are John Farty, presenter of Screen Time, and Serena Bellissimo, entertainment journalist. Good afternoon, guys. How are you?
Hello.
I'm jealous that you're in Philadelphia and you can run those rocky steps. That's my bucket list item.
You know, of course, we will run those rocky steps, and I am determined to beat Shane, so that's going to be like a very good time.
She's nothing if not competitive.
Had by all.
It's a big movie.
John Farty, are you a Rocky fan?
I was just going to say, like, you've Streets of Philadelphia, but the first Rocky movie I think is a misunderstood classic. A lot of people see it as this kind of over the top, yo Adriana, but it's this gorgeous downhill minor thing about this punk from the wrong side of tracks who becomes, or just about becomes, the heavyweight champion of the world. And Stallone is amazing in it. Like, they didn't want him in it, and he had to fight with them, and I think he took some kind of percentage deal. He wasn't going to get paid and all sorts of stuff.
It's, he won an Oscar.
Oh yeah,
not for the acting.
So rightly so, for Best Picture. It's I love that film.
Yeah, it is a kind of a beautiful tale, isn't it, of overcoming adversity. Yeah. The loser becoming the winner, kind of thing. It became a bit hackneyed, is that fair to say,
I think the sequels didn't help. You know, that's what happened. But I still think the first one stands up, especially when you watch
And the last one, yeah, Balboa, fair. Is a yeah. perfect ending to it, yeah. too.
Okay, it's certainly not Hokum, John Farty.
No, indeed it isn't. This is a great new Irish horror movie starring Adam Scott. Damien McCarthy gave us a movie 2 years ago called Oddity, which was a really good horror, and this is even better. It's about this very unpleasant writer who comes to Ireland to bury his parents' ashes, and he decides to stay in the hotel where they honeymooned. And there's a weird thing going on with the honeymoon suite. The hotel is owned by a kind of strange guy, and the hotel is staffed by some unusual people, and you're not sure when the movie's set. Is it the 1990s? Is it now? And this writer kind of has a moment late one night in the honeymoon suite, and what emerges is a very funny and a genuinely pee your pants horror movie. There was 3 jump scares in this that I haven't experienced in a long time. I jumped out of my skin. It's a weird time maybe for it to be released, a sunny May weekend, but it is really scary, really funny.
Is it
really
disturbing,
well
John? Because you're selling it to me. It's funny, it's dark, it's all that. But like, I watched, say, Heretic and didn't yes. practically sleep for 2 months. So how disturbing are we talking?
Yeah, it'll get you nicely disturbed. It is. It's pleasantly disturbing, you know? So, yeah, no, it's a great horror movie. And it's just, there are great horror movies being made in Ireland at the moment. It's great to see
yeah.
it. And this guy, Damien McCarthy.
Did you say Adam?
Adam
Sorry,
Scott.
Did you say Adam Scott?
Is I did, it? So, as in from Severance.
Was the last Irish movie he was in, was, am I right in saying Leap Year? Which couldn't be more different
no,
from
he,
this
he
film.
Wasn't
by
in,
the
he wasn't
things.
In Leap Year.
Was he Adam Scott?
He was in Leap Year. He was the fiance, wasn't he?
The American guy.
Oh, sorry. Yes, you're right. That's a terrible movie. Hokum is a lot better than Leap Year.
Sorry, hang on. Hold on. One of my favourite cheesy movies.
Leap
Year?
And we are in the city
movies.
Of yeah, a cheesy
yeah. No, I accept it's what? Absolute nonsense, but I have a soft spot for it. I don't know why. I just do.
Good heavens. Hokum is great.
You've left
though,
John Farty speechless there, Shane.
Yeah. Whatever little respect I had for you.
Jesus. Oh, Serena, I'm really excited about your next one, The Devil Wears Prada 2. Please tell me it's good.
Yeah, Ciara, I think a lot of us were really nervous going into this because this is a much-loved film. It was 2006 when we last saw it. Everyone's been asking for more. But just because we want more doesn't always mean it's going to be good. I mean, look at Sex and the City, what happened there. It wasn't great.
Ugh.
Yeah, but Ciara,
falling.
You don't need to worry. This is actually really good. I think the reason why this works is that no one was coming back unless there was a story. The writer and director have been asked for 20 years now, bring this back. And they're like, unless we have a story to tell, we're not bringing this back. So the story finds us current day. Miranda's still running Runway. Everyone's gone off to do their own thing. Andy's a journalist. Her publication has just shut down. While that shuts down, Miranda's publication is involved in a scandal. As a result, they've brought Andy back and they're trying to save Runway. Emily has gone off, but she's still involved and Nigel is still there. This is so much fun and fabulous. And I love that what this movie is doing, I'll tell you why it's so good in a sec, but what I do love about this film is that people are excited to go to the cinema again. Like, people are it's becoming an event. Like, people are organising groups and making a night out of it, which is brilliant.
And this is a brilliant ensemble cast, though, isn't it? I mean, like, Emily is one of, like, she's not the main character, but she's utterly brilliant.
Yeah, and do you know what? They all fall, like, they've just all slipped right back into the characters. Meryl Streep, Anne Hathaway, Emily Blunt, Stanley Tucci. They're fabulous, and they also look like they're having fun. But the other great thing is you can't rely too heavily on them. You also need to bring new into it. So the new cast that they've brought along is great. We've got Simone Ashley, who we know from Bridgerton, Lucy Liu, Justin Theroux, BJ Novak. Kenneth Branagh is in as Meryl Streep. Yeah, he's playing Miranda's husband. And if you watch Colin from Accounts, it's this quirky Australian show that a lot of people love. Patrick Bramall, who is Colin from Accounts, is actually brought in as Anne Hathaway's, Andy's love interest.
Oh, so that's brilliant. So the whiny boyfriend from the first film is not in this one.
Yeah, and this guy is...
No harm.
This guy's not as annoying. And the other great thing that this has as well, Shane, you know, we're talking about the cast, but there's fantastic cameos in this. I'm not going to spoil it because some of the fun is going, no way. There's one in particular. I'll just say there's an Irish link. You see him come up on screen and you go, there is no way he got a cameo in this. But the cameos all make sense.
Is he wearing O'Neill shorts?
I'm not saying anything. No, it's not him. It's not him. But the cameos all make sense. This is fun. It looks beautiful as well, but it's not style over substance, but it is stunning.
But there is plenty of style because you do want the style.
You do. And for me, the style was more about like the locations. It was, the fashion is great, but you know, the fact that it's set in New York City, we've got Milan, we've got Como. It's all fabulous. It's fun. I'm so glad they're back. Like, there was a real story here to tell. Yes, is there some corniness? Of course there is. Do I want a third? No. Because we don't want fast fashion, we want couture when it comes to our films, right? So let's leave it at that. But if you're worried, don't be. Go and see it, enjoy it, have fun.
Okay, John Fardy, let's get to your second choice.
Yes, there's a movie out this week in select cinemas, The Song Cycle. Nick Kelly, the man who fronted The Fat Lady Sings, he went on to be kind of a filmmaker.
Shine Like an Arclight.
Yeah, Shine Like an Arclight, great song. That was only their sixth biggest hit. They had lots of hits in the 90s as well. He's the man who gave us the Guinness ad with Michael Fassbender, the one where... The Grudge, is that what it's called? Or The Feud, or The Fight, or whatever, where he swam across the sea. The Quarrel, it was called. So he's done lots of things. But in this movie, him and his friend Sean Miller, who's also a musician, they get a slot, it's a documentary, but they get a slot in Glastonbury. And he decides he's going to cycle to Glastonbury and play gigs along the way. And in tandem with that, if you'll pardon the cycling pun, not to sound like Pat Kenny, he... kind of looks back on his life, and his dad was this famous politician and academic. He was in The Fat Lady Sings. It's absolutely delightful. It was probably made on a shoestring, but it's a lovely watch about this musician cycling to a gig in Glastonbury that he's not sure anyone's going to show up to, and kind of looking back on his artistic and his life in general. I loved it. It's a real kind of breath of fresh air. Shane, I think you'd love it just knowing what I do of your musical tastes, you know?
Yeah, I'm really interested in this. And I'd forgotten his dad was John Kelly, of course.
That's it, who was, you know, a minister of state.
I think he was an attorney general in a Fine Gael government as well. He's a really talented guy, Nick Kelly.
It's funny how many politicians have musical artists as children, like Kit and... I'm thinking of Ardal O'Hanlon, but that doesn't count as a musical. Do you know what I mean?
Artistic children.
Arts or whatever.
David McSavage as well.
Yeah, for sure. Serena, what else have you got for us? I do love the idea of that one, John Fardy. I think that's a really good tip for everybody.
My next one is something that both John and I have seen. It's a Netflix docuseries, Hulk Hogan, Real America. Are you guys into your WWE?
Silence coming across the Atlantic. Shane's got a headband on as we speak.
Tumbleweed. He's actually just ripping his shirt apart here in the studio.
Well, but you know what? This is a thing, right? Even if you're not into WWE wrestling, if you say Hulk Hogan, everybody knows that name.
Yeah.
in the 80s and 90s, he was more than just wrestling. And this is a four-part docuseries. Netflix are really good at doing this. They're really good at getting not only the rights to a person's life, but getting that person involved in the documentary, which means it's good and bad, because it means that you get unlimited access, in that you get access to all their archive footage, home footage, you get the person on camera opening up in ways that they wouldn't necessarily open up. But it also means that it is biased, because the person is involved.
Yeah, it's a bit sanitized, isn't it?
The problem is watching this, Hulk Hogan was involved, and his life was very up and down. There were a lot of scandals. All of that is spoken about. But he died while this was being made. He died last year at the age of 71. So it opens up with his funeral. And then from there, it goes to him training in a gym and talking to camera. And I found that a bit discombobulating when I was watching.
I really like this, though, because, like as Serena said, he had the most storied life. Like, you might forget. So, you know, he kind of looked 50 when he was 20 and never really changed physically. He always seemed to look the same. And he became this draw. Like, the amount of stuff that was resting on his shoulders for WWE was huge. But then he got into drugs, alcohol, sex tapes. He went to court to try and take down an online publication called Gawker. Not to mention Trumpomania. Like,
not to mention that Trump is one of the people.
Yeah, Trump is interviewed and gives a really strange interview. He comes and goes, "I've just left a big Russian meeting, but it's fine. I'm happy to talk." I don't know what that impression was of. It was meant to be Trump. But it is, like, the life is crazy. So whether you like wrestling or not, there is a lot to see here. And it gets weirder and weirder as his life went on. And he found no real comfort, you'd suggest, in his life. But it's a great crash to watch, unfortunately.
Yeah, so it is. Is it a little sad?
Oh, very sad. And it's his last interview, so, you know.
And everyone is involved. Like, you've got people from the wrestling world. Yeah. As we mentioned, when you see Donald Trump turn up Donald Trump now, we don't mean Donald Trump in the 80s, which you do see as well. He's there as the president being interviewed in this docuseries. But you've also got his family, the wrestling world. You don't have his daughter, Brooke. She's not involved in this at all, except via archive.
She's quite critical of it, I think, isn't she?
Very.
Yeah, and you can see why, because it is a warts and all, let's, as I say, stare at the car crash kind
Although she has said that it's missing 98% of real life. So she reckons there's more. And that's
what I say. It didn't talk nearly about the underbelly of the beast, she said.
Interesting. God, I'd hate to see what's the underbelly, because there's a lot of beastly stuff in this. No, seriously, though, it seemed kind of warts and all to me, you know? See,
and that's what I mean when I say it's great when you have the subject involved, because you do get access to stuff you wouldn't necessarily get access to. But as a result, and it's sanitized.
Just with regard to the warts and all, do you think there was extra warts because he had passed away and had signed his agreement but wasn't there to veto anything? Do you suspect it was different because he was dead?
Yes, possibly.
To final edit?
Yeah, that's a good point. I hadn't thought about that. But, I mean, we haven't even mentioned, like, his... He did a At Home with the Hogans. That's a whole chapter in it. His own reality TV show. Like, as I said, it is a really storied life.
And
really sad. But a really beguiling watch in lots of ways, you know?
Serena, you've also picked an Aussie Rules documentary, is it?
Yeah, I apologise in advance. This is very niche and very self-indulgent of me. But anytime I get to talk about Aussie Rules, I'll mention it. This is basically like, do you remember Formula One Drive to Survive? This is from the producers of that.
Yeah.
So basically it's a four-part docuseries again, where they look at the run-up to the final season last year, so in September, and they look at possibly one of the teams going back-to-back premiers, but it goes further than that. It also looks at about four or five different players as well and their journeys as AFL players, and it is quite interesting. At the beginning, I was just like, none of my team's in. I was a bit of a spoiled brat going, my team's not in.
Who's your team?
We used to be great. We're not so great anymore. Carlton is my team. So they're not focused, featured at all. But it is really interesting because all of the players have a different story to tell. So, you know, you've got the player who was number one draft picked. What is the pressure that comes with that? The player who has anger issues on the field and then also has a dad who has alcoholic issues and is actually impacting his career. Then you've got the player who is the oldest player in the league at the moment and will he continue? Another one who has to deal with injury issues as well. So it's also very psychological. I found it really interesting. As I said, I know I'm reviewing this from a very
But if you weren't into Aussie rules, would it still be interesting? As in, if you were into GAA or if you're into football or if you're into something else, would this also sort of resonate with you, seeing the interaction of these players and these teams?
Yeah, I think if just from like a psyche, an athlete's psyche, what it takes to be an athlete at this level, I think it is quite interesting. And also, I loved seeing the interaction, like the behind the scenes in the coach's box and seeing how everyone's interacting with each other. And, you know, if you are Australian, it's really great to hear the broadcasters that you grew up with as well and see the sides. It's great. Is it as good as maybe Drive to Survive and as snazzy and stuff? Probably not. But if you do like your AFL, Prime Video, 4 episodes available now.
Okay.
We've been watching a good bit of, like in our rooms in the evenings and stuff here, American TV. And guys, do you know what? One of the big high points, the ads on American TV. We are drawn into everything from, you know, diet jabs to hemorrhoid creams, and you know,
it's all health and pets.
Yeah,
and do you
I haven't noticed the pets as much as the health.
But do you with the health ones? What always gets me by surprise? They spend the first half of the ad telling you why this is good for you, and the second half of the ad why this will kill you.
Yeah, that's Chris Rock has a great sketch.
You
about
take
that.
This if you were having a convulsion. Death may ensue.
Yeah.
It's crazy. It's utterly crazy. But it's completely compelling. I'm glued to it. I feel I need all these products now. But anyway, look, that's just a little aside note. Thank you both as ever for telling us what to watch. We are delighted. And next time we see you, we will be back on your side of the Atlantic.
Actually, John, have you had a chance to watch third series of Blue Lights yet?
No, I haven't, unfortunately. There's so many things I have to watch. But I do, just to go back to Colin from Accounts, again, Shane, I know a bit of your taste. Sorry, it sounds like we're married or something. But I do think you would love Colin from Accounts. It's absolutely hilarious. So good once. I couldn't sleep on a plane. I watched the second series twice. It was a long flight to Singapore or somewhere. You would love it. It's just so funny and sweet.
Okay, that is our lot for today. My thanks to John Fardy, presenter of Screen Time, and Serena Bellissimo, entertainment journalist.
The Hard Shoulder with Ciara Kelly and Shane Coleman.
With the MG Hybrid and Electric range.
Weekdays at 4 on News Talk. Conversation that counts.